Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, we're diving for the winter solstice. This is our winter solstice preparation, the Saturnalia. We go darker, right? Leonard Cohen says, you want it darker, you know, a million candles lit for the help that never came. You know, you extinguish the flame. Well, we're here to light it. So I light a million candles. So the Saturnalia is all about Saturn insourcing our autonomy to suck the chi out of tyranny, right? All of us who do that work of, again, insourcing our autonomy, our Saturn, our leadership, our capacity to define things, our capacity to dedicate. This is always, for 25,000 years, the time to do that, this Saturnalia, to inhale back into our hara, right below our navel. We can do it now. Our center still point, right, the still point from whence our customized trickster redeemer be born in all beings, right? I love Sir Herbert Reed saying, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology. It's a good expression of Saturn quintile Uranus for us to honor on our solstice altar of desirable mystery. So that's why we invite power into the world. Music and metaphor are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. You know, Amakayla Gaston and I will be doing our winter solstice Zoom Kahoot on Saturday at 2 p.m. West Coast time, 5 p.m. East Coast time. So, yeah, Ami and I have been kahooting since prehistory, delineating the astro-mytho-political guiding winter narrative. And Ami, with all of us, is so dedicated, calls in what we need, that the desirable may incarnate into sensual actuality. We've been doing some deep brewing and conjuring. So that will be Saturday, December 21st, to lay the year to rest. You know, again, 5 p.m. East Coast, 2 p.m. West Coast, Zoom by donation. You know, and the Syrian saying, because you are generous and we are worthy. We go, oh, okay. So I know of nothing more wonderful to situate ourselves than William Kittredge's brief poem about this raven rattle. He says, sometime in the early 1880s, a medical doctor named Israel Wood Powell, superintendent for Indian affairs for coastal Indians in British Columbia, collected a raven rattle from the Tsimshian Indians. It is a percussive musical instrument used in elaborate ceremonial dances. A simple rattle, like the ones we all shook in childhood. Sidebar, isn't it interesting, right, that we give children rattles to enter into the still point, to enter into the trance? Back to Kittredge. Except that this one is carved into the form of a mythological raven caught in the act of stealing the sun back from captivity. That's us. That's now. That's the solstice. Carrying the little red ball of the sun in his mouth, preparing to spit it home into the heavens again. That's a striking idea, but not half so remarkable as the beings we see riding on the raven, a human figure reclining back in a posture of sexual openness, and a frog crouching over as if preparing to mount, and their tongues, or tongue, red and slender and arcing, it's a single tongue and a most remarkable thing as it reaches from human to frog and frog to human. It's all the same in this vision, in which we share tongues with the animals in some perfect sexuality, while our trickster raven redeploys the sun, as in raven brought the light. The unknown person who made that rattle is a glory to our species. See, that raven rattle says, this is how we are, inextricably one with everything, however tricked, riding, in fact, on the back of trickiness itself. That's where we are. We're riding, in fact, on the back of trickiness itself. So, yeah, again, you can join Amakayla Gaston and me by going to coyotenetworknews.com to find out about our December 21st Kahoot, back to us, riding on the back of trickiness itself. So let's also set the tone with Bunny Wailer and Armageddon. We start with that because it's an accurate news report. So here's Armageddon.
Against evil, right, battling against wrong. Here comes bondage, struggling for freedom. But have patience, I dream of patience. Don't be burdened by reasons of tribulation. Have patience, I dream of patience. Remember the call of redemption, it says. Blessed are the poor,
they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are the meek,
they shall have the earth.
Them that hunger and thirst after righteousness, them alone shall be called blessed. In this Yahweh, 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 it's the Armageddon taking place in Iration, in Iration.
Yahweh, Yahweh,
it's the Armageddon taking place in Iration. Beyond to the pastors that lead my sheep astray. Everyone shall get his pay. All the gates of hell just could never prevail. I'd like to say Babylon fail. There is one like unto a flame. His name I can tell.
conquering and to conquer. The gates of doom and hell and life, long life, is his reward. To them that are good, as for the heathen, in their hearts his name is terrible and dreadful. In this Yahweh, the boy, the boy, it's the Armageddon taking place in Iration, in Iration. Boy, de boy, de boy, it's the Armageddon taking place in Iration. Boy, de boy, de boy, it's the Armageddon taking place in Iration, in Iration. Armageddon taking place in Iration. The night is past, the day is come. I see Jah shining in the shining sun.
Bunny Wailer, right, the night has passed, the day has come. We saw Jah shining through the shining sun. These are all in our field for the Saturnalia. You know, he begins by saying, you know, in the beginning there was just I, right? This is very Neptune. We're all in this dream together. As Deborah Falmouth always reminds us, me, you know, the word shalom, shalom, peace is not the absence of conflict, it's the presence of oneness. We're all in this dream together. We say altruism is self-interest, right? And as Bunny says, you know, then the demon said, the you and I, you know. But he says, remember the call of redemption. You know, the night is past, the day has come. Well, yeah, well, let's dive into the dark some and the antidote within us all, that we hone all of our participatory skills. Again, we insource our Saturn authority from the outer world, and we go, right, so Congress is on the verge of handing Trump the weapon to attack nonprofits. H.R. 9495 is the nonprofit killer bill in which the Treasury Secretary can go, we think your organization supports terrorism, which means the environment or any sensible thing, so we're going to shut you down. You know, we go, no, we have a lot on our work table. Just, you know, adding up, you know, H.R. 9495, it adds up and reduces to nine. Nine is the ending, the finish, nine steps to the underworld, and we go, and then, not to be outdone, MAGA extremists in South Carolina have a bill, right? That this is why we need Pacifica and all of ourselves to stay alert. You can't take attention, you know, off of these guys for a second. You know, MAGA extremists in South Carolina have a bill, H3537, which allows South Carolina to execute women who receive an abortion. It's the Dementor cartoon buffoon inquisition. And the election debacle, part of my ruminating is, it's like, oh, we or I, you know, underestimated the formidable, you know, Dementor dark magic of the buffoon cartoon inquisition, like, ooh. And in a sense, you know, excuse me. It moves me. In a sense, we all got smoked on what should be our strong suit, Neptune, the power of dreams, the capacity to conjure the atmosphere conducive to the desirable. You know, we let that go. But strategic advantage goes to us now. I will delineate. Whoops, let me settle down the board here. Okay, all right. I think, well, we hope that's okay. There we go. Yes, so part of the choreography, you know, believe nothing, entertain possibilities, just see if it hums within all of us, within all of our hearts. So Mars last week, December 6th, stationed to retrograde to go on its vision quest, you know, from Leo, the king, back into Cancer, Mars as nurturer, as maker of soup, as protector of life, you know, all the way back until February 27th when it goes forward. So Mars goes inward. Neptune, our strong suit, dreams, vision, imagination, music, power of symbolic languages, fairy tales, you know, visualizing goes forward December 7th. So it's a do-si-do in which our active life, our desire life goes in and our dream imaginary life goes out. You know, it's our imagining that assumes cultural narrative lead. You know, and, you know, I'm diving into more and more Harriet Tubman, you know, often referenced, you know, and her luminous pragmatism that allowed her animism, her understanding that everything was alive and a collaborative thing. The night was hers, the dark, deep water. You know, you want it darker, we'll go darker. We'll show you darker. You know, and so looking at her birth chart, you know, it's uncertain when she's born, but I love her birth chart. You know, March 7th, 1822, because Venus exalted its images, Moses bringing new guidelines down the mountain. She was called Moses, so that works pretty well. But so Harriet Tubman, 1822, 1821, in the sky was the Neptune-Uranus conjunction, the awakening power of symbols and participatory animism. It's Harriet Tubman, it's Matthew Arnold, it's Clara Barton, it's Mary Baker Eddy, it's Walt Whitman, it's Sir Richard Burton, not the actor, the translator of the Arabian Nights, you know, and it's like, ooh, the power of symbols, you know, that they practice that, they then waft that, and they bequeath that to us. This Saturnalia time is really where we make our dedications, and we might feel more dedicated when we feel the ancestors or people we admire, you know, we feel ourselves etched against their prodigious dedication, going, all right, you know, I dedicate. I want to be a better person in these ways. I want these qualities. And again, we come back to basics, like what is distinct to humans? What is it distinct to our rogue species, aside from our ill manners when we forget animism? And it might be, you know, two things: to discern the evolutionary opportunity available at any moment, the liveliest possibilities available at any moment, and dedicate and align partner with that. It's a time to consider with the stars. And it might be that part of our opportunity responsibility, our Jupiter-Saturn, is to borrow qualities of intelligence from flora, fauna, fungi, from our kin with whom we share this planet, you know. So Neptune and Uranus, you know, strong in Harriet Tubman and Matthew Arnold and Clara Barton and Mary Baker Eddy and Walt Whitman and Sir Richard Burton, it reminds us that, you know, each time period has a, we could say, zeitgeist or an assignment, and not everyone does it, you know, but it's available. And that's also part of our, you know, divination language. It's not what's going to happen. That's way too passive and also just untrue. It's what's available with which to cooperate. Magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything, not condone it, but cooperate with it. You know, so it, excuse me, it might be that. Borrowing these qualities of intelligence, you know, and then there are some people who really come alive. Well, right now, as we look at the chart of now, and winter solstice, always important, you know, the dark is rising and then the light returns, right? We lay the old year to rest, and, you know, we'll be doing, well, just in our hearts now and also on Saturday with Ami, you know, the chant that Starhawk has been doing for so long and that I first learned from her in an apartment with, I think, Naked Witches in San Francisco in 1981. I think that was it. Yeah. And it's the longest nights, the wheel is turning, what will we give to the night? And then people shout out, you know, tyranny. And then everybody says, tyranny is gone with the night. the longest nights the wheel is turning. So it's to lay the old year to rest and then to ladle out and waft, you know, tidings of comfort and joy, to waft those out there. So, you know, we invite our mentors and our ancestors and all whom we admire, a wonderful word it means to move towards that. You know, so, so Harriet Tubman, just her indefatigable dedication, her luminous pragmatism, the wonderful phrase, again, that she viewed the planets and the stars as luminous guiding messengers. And we go, yeah, and so do we. And that's, she felt, what made her so effective. And that's part of our dedication, which is the trickster medicine, the democratic animism, the participating with everything is the medicine, the sine qua non, really. It's the medicine because it makes all the other dedications effective. I go, all right. So we are in a quirky time. The Inquisition. It's like the backstage gods, you know, were like, do we have to make it any clearer about the Inquisition? You know, they look like that, you know, and when they were, you know, well, yeah, to execute women who receive abortions, South Carolina Bill, H3537, we have your eyes on you and we throw you into the cauldron too, that bill. And then I have not seen the movie Wicked, but I like John Pavlovitz, an ally on Blue Sky. Blue Sky, pretty interesting, very civil, again, community arising horizontally in a good way. That's what we want, you know. So he writes about Wicked. A terrified charlatan cowering behind a curtain as the blustering, bellowing caricature of himself incessantly peddles fear of the other, the different, the easily separated, the vulnerable minority. Alongside him, a willing and influential wielder of propaganda designed to tear a community apart from the inside by trafficking in false accusations and lazy stereotypes, knowing if the message is loud and frequent enough, it will eventually become gospel within scared people's heads. A brilliant, gifted individual longing to simply be seen and to belong, whose only crime was being born with the characteristics which made her an easy target for those well-versed in the villainizing of the outcast, someone whose pigmentation and place of origin could be weaponized against her. And in between the wizard, his propagandist, and the easily terrorized mob and their beautiful, innocent target, here we stand. Right, so that's John Pavlovitz, you know, beginning of his review of the movie Wicked, which is like, yeah, okay, I'm up for that. It seems extremely pertinent. The Inquisition being everywhere, and you know, it's the Inquisition on women, on the vulnerable, you know, on Gaza, on Sudan, on just on the earth, right? So. So there's also just a wonderful song that reminds us, that situates us as to where we are right now, which is the song Cool of the Day.
My Lord, he said unto me, do you like my garden so fair? Well, you may live in this garden if you keep my grasses green. And I'll return in the cool of the day.
Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Oh, this earth is a garden, the garden of my Lord, and he walks in his garden in the cool of the day. Then my Lord, she said unto me, do you like my garden so pure? Well, you may live in this garden if you keep my waters clean, and I'll return in the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Oh, this earth is a garden, the garden of my Lord, and he walks in his garden in the cool of the day. Then my Lord, he said unto me, do you like my garden so free? Well, you may live in this garden if you keep my people free, and I'll return in the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Oh, this earth is a garden, the garden of my Lord, and he walks in his garden in the cool of the day.
It's like Antonio Machado says, you know, what have we done with the garden entrusted to us? Deep, deep time. You know, out there it's so busy, and we want to pull in, gather our wits. This is always meant to be the time, the I Ching says, at the solstices, the gates, the paths over the snow-clad mountains are closed. Everyone, go in, go in. And we can feel that, you know, with Neptune assuming cultural narrative lead out there, you know, it's in cooperative ways and descriptive ways. It's like we're all tripping, you know. And for those of us who have cultivated skills of navigational skills with entheogens, it's very useful now. And if you haven't, just, you know, you're tripping now anyway, which is like, whoa, you go with it, you go with it. And set and setting, kind of important, right? It's like there's an enhanced sensitivity to atmosphere, which is why the small things, not superstition, you know, but the small things of like the tree or the candles or the anything dedicated, you know, to bring, you know, hearth and light into the home as an invitation, you know, part of the stillness. And we all know, perhaps, you know, the James Arthur story of, you know, Christmas as an Amanita mushroom festival, right? Just to briefly put that out there, which is in the north, the shaman dresses as the sacrament, red and white mushrooms. Amanita mushrooms grow under fir trees, right? Like little red and white packages. The reindeer love to eat them. That's true. When the humans drink the reindeer piss because it filters out the more dangerous alkaloids. And then the experiences of flying. They all go to the North Pole, the center of wisdom, to take wisdom down everyone's hearth, everyone's smoke hole in their home, right? That wisdom be born in each heart. And it's like, oh, that's great. When we drive around and go, oh, the commercialization and everything and all the lights, and it's like everybody's just trying to get high or just trying to get kinned with nature again underneath all that. So all these small things that we do, you know, to honor and celebrate. I was lucky enough to have John Langstaff run the grade school music program at my school, and I appreciate him even more and more and more as we go, because he brought us paganism and the magic of the solstice, you know, and revels. We're going to hear his Lord of the Dance in a moment. I feel myself etched against his dedication. And it was wonderful because, so he was our teacher through kindergarten, through ninth grade, you know. And then Amakela and I, you know, set forth doing our solstice things. And unbeknownst to me, Jack Langstaff came to one of them. And at the end of it, he bounded on stage. It was so wonderful. He bounded on stage going, you're doing it. You're doing it. You took the baton and you're doing it. There's nothing more wonderful than reciprocal blessing, you know, from an admired mentor. You know, we get handed the baton, you know, for all of us to feel like, well, who have we admired, you know, among the living, you know, among the recently dead, among the ancestors, you know, who do we admire? And again, Deborah Falmouth, I always quote, I love it. She says, in the West, we think of the future in front of us. Whoa, progress. And the past in back of us, who cares? But in the Middle East, she said, it's the reverse. We're gazing at the past in front of us. The future's invisible. We are crafting the future by gazing at the caravan of our past mentors. This is really very now. So I had the great good fortune to be in Cambridge when this was performed live, what we're about to hear, The Lord of the Dance. And it's Jack Langstaff with one lung, singing Lord of the Dance, which is, it goes with all of our trickster, it goes with this time of year. So here is Lord of the Dance.
In the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance city, and I'll lead you on wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance. For the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they wouldn't follow me. I dance for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me and the dance went on.
Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me on high. They left me there on a cross to die.
Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dancing king, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dancing king.
I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone, but I am the dance and I still go on.
Dance then, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dancing king, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dancing king.
They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he.
Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Dance.
So here we are again, team. This is the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. We are honoring the solstice within and without, the winter solstice approaching. That was Jack Langstaff, now an ancestor. And again, this is a time where we feel ourselves etched against the dedication of others going, oh, ooh, yeah. The model being the power of these holy days is we can't even be who we want to be by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this pickle. So we make our vows, you know, this is the human I want to be, you know, spicy, darkly discerning, but kind, right? You know, and put it on the altar this time, today, the Saturday, if you're with Ami and me or just on your own, to put vows on the altar that the liberating trickster, redeemer, heretic born in each of us, you know, and just to put some guidelines on our table, you know, myth, Neptune going forward, Mars going backward. Mars says, you know, go on a vision quest to go, what is it you really want? What is it you really want? Is that the thing or the symbol of the thing? If we entertain the possibility that enormous changes are brewing, available, what's the quality? You know, situation so dire we can't afford the luxury of realism. What is the biggest, most desirable, you know, humans wetting the earth, stepping back into the choreography, you know, composting tyranny, just completely unrealistic, it's the way to go, necessary miracles. And part of the Neptunian fairy tale myth admonition and guidance is to never use the tools, the weapons, or the cruelty of the oppressor, just to put some guidelines on the table. And to that, I turn, you know, to a quirky movie I discovered in COVID, Detective D and the Four Heavenly Kings. You know, it's a kung fu movie, but it was really great at the end. At the Detective D finale, the Taoist master, confronting the murderous men demon, says, "Life is infinite and precious. Why would we allow hatred to contaminate it? The hatred is endless. Once you unleash that demon, it's always with you. There's no escaping it." The bad guy demon, right? How do we dance with demons? Really a big important theme. The bad guy unleashes weapons. You know, the Taoist calmly deflects all attacks. And then the bad guy unleashes the weapon from hell, the metal cage that encircles the Taoist's head. And then, aha, one encircles the villain's head as well. And the Taoist responds, "Inner demons urge us to kill. Expel them from our hearts and the weapon will fall open," and repeating it as a chant. And all the demons and the chief bad guy, because of the authenticity of the Taoist person, that we would like a homeopathic dose in our own dedicated selves, the demons and the chief bad guy fall to their knees in liberated redemption. And the Taoist again says to the ally hero, "Hell is full of suffering souls, so enlightenment must wait. Forgive me for being late. Accept my respect. I didn't know it was so dangerous." And then, you know, I love that. And then it's just out of the blue, an ancient email arose with this thematically resonant communique. A man approached the gate of an unfamiliar city. As he reached the gate, a magician standing there said, "Wait, you shouldn't go in there without a weapon. Demons lurk there." And the man said, "I need no weapon and have nothing to do with demons." The magician drew a sword from the sheath he held. As he drew it, a frightful demon appeared, but the magician was able to kill it with the sword. "Now will you take a weapon?" he said. But the man still refused. "Are you blind?" said the magician. "Do you see the sword I drew killed the demon?" "Are you blind?" the man responded. "Do you not see that the sword you drew created the demon?" And he walked on into the city, armed only with the clarity of his mind and being. That's adopted from Leonard Jacobson. We go, oh, that's good. All right. So what can we do, and what's available? Let me delineate part of what is being so generously proffered to us. Darker, right? We go to Gene Hackman in Enemy of the State. You know, a great film worth dusting off. Their strengths are their weaknesses. Our weaknesses are our strengths. They're large and lumbering and buffoonish and clumsy and cruel. We're small and agile, nimble, you know, and we might say, and aspiring to be kind, right? There we go. So many astrologers, I have not really known what dark moon Lilith was, part of the astrological language to which I've been dedicated for 8 million years. But I go, what is that? You know, but I like it. Whatever we have a name for, we have a relationship. So Dark Moon Lilith is not a body. It's a point where if the moon's orbit were circular rather than elliptical, it would balance out. So it's about balancing. Dark Moon Lilith is about balancing, but it is Dark Moon Lilith, right? She was dismissed by Yahweh, right? Because apparently, because she wanted to have sex on top, and they were like, no, go away. This is South Carolina Bible world, And then Eve, the more compliant, apparently. So many ways to tell the story, but I like Dark Moon Lilith, and I'll bring her in for all of us here. So I'm looking her up in everybody's chart and in our chart too, going, okay, because she comes with, all right, if it's dark, we go darker. You know, again, you want it darker, and it's like we go into the replenishing dark, this powerful dark, this Dark Moon Lilith realm. And the goddess Nemesis, right, which has come to mean enemy. It was Chalmers Johnson that just came back to me, a wonderful historian that I think I first heard on KPFA a million years ago, talking about the goddess Nemesis. Nemesis has come to mean enemy. Right, but we are creatively suspicious, like going, wait a minute, pre-colonizing, go deeper, go darker, go back, liberate the thing. Nemesis was the goddess who brought down unjust empire. Like, yeah, right, not our enemy. We ally with that, and she is like Dark Moon Lilith, the bringer into balance of unjust fortune. Unjust fortune. I love Pretty Boy Floyd told us, right? Some will rob you with a gun and some with a fountain pen. And no fortune without a felony, right? That's really useful. You know, put that on billboards. Rather than kill CEOs, we understand as a dream thing, you know, but really, you know, quote Brecht, right? Again, put Brecht on billboards in which his character in the Three Penny Opera says, what is the robbing of a bank compared to the founding of a bank? Yeah, put up artful discrepancy, and no felony without no fortune without a felony is very fun. I've brought that up at a gathering of philanthropists, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, probably true. But anyway, so there is that dynamic to bring that through. Okay, so Dark Moon Lilith and Nemesis. So where is Dark Moon Lilith now? She's at 19 Libra. She's forming a grand trine in air. I will say this. Dark Moon Lilith trines Venus. So beautiful overhead. Rising higher in the night sky. Venus has returned to the night sky. All cultures have symbolically embedded their science in their fairy tales and myth. And the Venus cycle is a classic one, because it's so easy to track, and our intimate tracking, our real news, our larger news to be brought in to make us more efficacious in the practical, realistic news. So Venus is after sunset. She's rising higher in the west as she's returned from the underworld as the evening star, some say. She many ways to tell every story, but she's gone to the underworld to gather her skills, and we with her, for cultural renaissance. Everything about the darkening, the darkening and then the return of the light, that's this time of year, so many myths, the descent to the underworld and the return, you know, this winter, we just, you know, all the characteristics of it. December 21st at midnight, right, the beginning of the day of the winter solstice, is when the dangerous buffoon cartoon Inquisition, to which we have outsourced our Saturn, are considering shutting down the government, which would be very cruel, very Grinchy. Grinchy, remember the Grinch Who Stole Christmas came out 58 years ago as a cute video. It's a Dr. Seuss book long before that, but it's very Grinchy. The Dementors are Grinches. And to mock, you know, and satire, and to suck the chi out of tyranny, you know, is part of our crucial, you know, assignment, you know. And so, yeah, so we go darker. So the Grand Trine, Venus, the descent and the return. So Venus, part of all of us in Aquarius, dedicated to community well-being. Trines Dark Moon Lilith, going, all right, the art form, you know, billboards, memes, gathering, spiraling forth things, again, to bring things into accountability. This is also a very Saturn theme, this beautiful language. Again, it's not a superstition, it's not something to believe in, it's something that helps us to organize and to track patterns. So Saturn authority contains the word author. This is the Saturnalia. It's when the statues of Saturn, which were chained in Greece, because the Greeks are kinky that way, but were unchained at the Saturnalia, going, all rules off, everyone's a heretic. Heretic was a term of praise in early religion because it meant cross-pollinating contributor to culture so that knowledge never degraded into dogma or superstition. And so Saturn is authority. We insource it. It's how we define things. It's boundaries. It's regulations. It's all of that. So, you know, from my own long ago book on tape, I have the Saturn realm. The solstice when the sun enters Capricorn, that's the incarnational time for Saturn. You know, so it's form, structure, laws, authority, focus, boundaries, discipline, being a disciple, responsibility, the capacity to respond appropriately to time's demands. Yes, I'd like to be better. And so when we outsource, the reason Saturn gets a superstitious bad rap of fear and depression is when we outsource our authority to cruel dingbats, we should be afraid, you know. But Saturn wants, when we encounter tyranny, it wants to serve as an incentive to our ingenuity. There we go. So the color is indigo. You know, I love, a neuroscientist, I'm going to forget his name at the moment, but loved LSD, wonderful person, you'll know it. But he said when he was on a trip, and remember, tripping skills are available, are really crucial now. He goes, oh, if I could have anything, it would be indigo. And the responsive universe was like, indigo, whoa. And he said he was suffused with this dark blue, blue-violet light that saturated his whole being. And he said it satisfied him forever. And we go, all right, indigo, you know, inhaling indigo, exhaling it. Here's the positive dark. You know, the metal associated with Saturn is lead, and therefore with alchemy, the transformation of lead, you know, into gold. And that's why this time period also is alchemical. It's like in alchemy, it's the Negredo, where the alchemist part of all of us is holding the cauldron, and it begins to seethe violently, you know, and buffoon cartoon inquisitions waft out, you know, and cruelty and into the world, and it's scary. And the alchemist within us all might drop the vessel, but that would be unfortunate because it took a long time to get to this horrible but opportune, you know, again with nuance, time. And so what they got to do, and we as well, you know, and we just do this in our mind's eye at the moment, we'll do a kind of bigger with gongs with Ami on Saturday, but just in our mind's eye, the alchemist, all of us, raises their arm and invites in what is necessary. You know, so each person, according to, you know, for me, it's like Bodhisattva Coyote, Liberating Trickster Redeemer, you know, you might say the Holy Ghost, or, you know, whatever it is, invites it into the cauldron. And the cauldron calms down and turns to liquid gold. And then we can have a wise culture, you know, we have humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius. And we go, all right, that's part of the thing. So keep that in mind's eye. We'll do a ritual version of that on Saturday. But wherever you are, you're going to be somewhere. You know, and so it is Saturn's day. So Saturn also is our bones, our teeth, our skin, what defines us, our limits, the structure and boundary of the body, the body's center of gravity, the will center located, right, our hara, right? Right before the navel in martial arts, that's where our ki-up comes from, which is the focusing of physical energy, and it's a very Saturn thing. Saturday, of course, is Saturn's day, so it's the backstage divine's trying to help us out, right? The Saturnalia this year happens to be on Saturday, Saturn's day. The sun quintiles Saturn, 72-degree angle of eloquence opening portals between worlds. And it's like, thank you, generosity, trying to help the humans out. That's really great. Yeah, it's festival, Saturn, you know. Saturn, way of honoring Saturn, not so much get a job, create a job. Saturn says he or she who hesitates gets bossed, right? Either we craft something or somebody tells us to do something, which we don't want to do. Either we work with our Saturn or someone else will. That's part of our cultural calamity, right? You know, and to see, I like Esther Hicks channeling whatever she's doing. She says the best thing we can do for anyone is to see them connected to their own wise autonomy. And this is a useful in our magic backpack, in our canoes that we're packing, to pull that out. I've used it, you know, even with rude people talking loudly at a beautiful sacred music concert, you know, and see, one could go shh, right? But then you've got this tension and you're waiting for them to do it again. And they're in a resistance. Now we're in a Saturn struggle. And so instead of doing that, I go, I see them connected to their own wise sense of appropriate decorum. Quieted right down. These are experimental times, you know. Neptune to Uranus, you know, again, it's the power of imagination. It's the power of animism. It's Harriet Tubman and the really effective, admirable people that we might want to be more like. You know, we're all a syncretic brew. You know, and it's the Saturn-Uranus disciplined wildness part of all of us, and the grand trine with Dark Moon Lilith going, yeah, come on in, you know, some of that. Trine Jupiter, and our capacity to spiral out, you know, into the world, tidings of comfort and joy, that's a good line, you know, but also well-wishing. Because even, or maybe especially Dark Moon Lilith in her trine to Jupiter, trine to Venus right now, you know, says, what to Jupiter? What is the one way of relating to the world and everything in it that is guaranteed replenishing and never depleting? And Jupiter says, blessing, well-wishing. You know, we call it reciprocal blessing. May it go well for you, which is also a surprising way to engage with, you know, to step out of opposition. Because part of our strategy team is the Dementors of Doom, and the Dementors are always and only self-referential. Whatever they accuse other people of doing, it's just them, which we know for at least the last 8 years and more. You know, it's a principle that's just being cartoon, you know, in front of us going, oh, that's what they're doing. Okay. So, but, you know, may it go well for you. Now, it can be spicy blessings. You know, Mars is going on a vision quest. And remember, you know, when Hercules was behaving badly and laying waste to the world, the gods got together and sentenced him to go to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving, to knit and weave the fabric of the fabric of creation back into place, the fabric that undisciplined Mars had sundered, right, of kinship and kindness and community. So Dark Moon Lilith says, yeah, the spiciest Dark Moon quality is, you know, manners and well-wishing in unexpected places. You know, may it go well for you. So we go, that's really great. Shadow, when Saturn is not honored, you know, depression, inertia, fear, claustrophobia, when Saturn has us down and out, it feels like we're doing resistance training in life. Yeah, I sort of want more words than resistance, because in Aikido, it's a losing move. Ursula Guin says, we strengthen whatever we oppose, we strengthen whatever we resist. It's more like, don't block guide, like, oh, there, you want to go that way? I'll step out of the way, and off you go. It's part of our strategy that tyranny contained the seeds of its own demise to collapse. That's not enough, of course, just to step out of the way while we dedicate. You know, and, you know, last week playing, a brilliant woman's, Aquamarine's analysis of how Israel has destroyed the Israeli government, well, the whatever the entity is at the moment that's changing, the the economy is collapsing, right? They still have spyware and stuff, but the economy is collapsing, and a part of our ongoing journey that will take us into the winter, so many planets, so many qualities of intelligence, not causing, describing again, and how to dance with that. Uranus, trickster genius, has now arrived at 23 Taurus, the degree of its stationing. It will spend time starting today, right now, at 23 Taurus, backwards station direct at the end of January, stay forward motion on this degree all the way through February into early March. So who has planets at 23, Taurus, Leo, and I go, well, the state of Israel's sun, S-U-N, is at 23 Taurus, so it's like, woo. Unlocking, change, transformation. Can a country become egalitarian? Can a land become egalitarian? We'll see. We'll open the imaginative, unrealistic, desirable that the spirit of democracy and humans, we throw speciesism into the cauldron, right? And in a long-term sense, nation states on their way, well, just dissolve that, false boundaries. But then, part of, every now and then, of course, I go, what if astrology is just nonsense, and throw it into the cauldron, and then go, oh, this is amazing. One of the humans, and now ancestors too soon, that I admire so much is David Graeber. And so when he was born, the sun's at 23 Aquarius, and exactly opposite Uranus at 23 Leo. And it's like, oh, that's such a description of him plus everything else. That's so great. Yes, he was a liberating genius dedicated to community well-being. And I so love the Democracy Project and the Dawn of Everything, reading those over and over again. He really left it to us. And when we feel ourselves etched against the dedication of people like that, we go, come on in, David Graeber. And touched on a little bit, we'll be doing more at the solstice. You can find out about that at coyotenetworknews.com. But also touched on it a smidge. All right, we're in our outro too. But he guides us to, the roots of America. We have not really resolved, the idea of a democracy. And then I love that he's saying, really, the democracy comes from the Seneca, the Onondaga, the Mohawk, the Cuyahoga, the Oneida, that democracy could arise, from groups of people gathering in a dedicated fashion. And that's what we're up to. He says, democracy did not come from Greece. The only thing that came from Greece was the word, and it was used as an aspersion. Democracy, but it's everywhere. And arising in all of our hearts, may it be so this winter solstice, that democratic animism arise. So thank you, team. Thank you, team. You can join Ami and me on Saturday, coyotenetworknews.com. Thanks always to Kirsten Thomas. We will keep these themes roiling within and without. Woof.